Welcome to Hope is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and one of my favorite things about having this radio program and podcast ministry is being able to share other people's stories of how God helped them when they were in the depth of despair and helping them find hope in a most painful season of life. Joining me today is the new executive director of Assurance for Life Ministries located here in Central Kentucky, Randy Hardman. Randy, thanks for joining us. We met a couple months ago at a men's ministry group. It was 6:30 in the morning, and we were asked to share some of our journey of faith. And as you shared, I thought, man, I need to have Randy to share his story on Hope is Here. And we're definitely going to share a lot about Assurance for Life, too, tomorrow. But just share something with our listeners about your journey and, man, how your story has kind of brought you to where you are in the season of life now.
Yeah, Greg, thank you for having me and having me on behalf of Assurance. Sharing the story at 6:30 a.m. is very different than sharing it at 3:30 p.m., so we'll see if there's much in the way of difference. But I stepped into the role of Executive Director of Assurance after many years of just kind of struggling with life and God and some big questions. And, you know, I moved to Kentucky as a young man in my early 20s for seminary work, and I was just a kind of a floating head when I showed up here. I had every aspiration to get a doctorate and be a big-time teacher and writer and public speaker somewhere, and it's biblical studies was my field. I went to a state school and studied philosophy and religion, and so I came here to Asbury Seminary over in Wilmore and wanted to pursue that. And it's a funny, you know, trajectory that God puts you on in life. I've said that God is not a fan of stereotypes, and he has some irony in that. So coming here to be a big-time scholar and now working at a medical center with pregnant people and unplanned pregnancies, and even being a male in that center, you know, has changed a lot. But, you know, I think, like I said, God is not a fan of stereotypes. He always makes it interesting. He's always in the midst of our journey. And I've seen that in my own story. So.
Well, you know, we all have different seasons, different aspects. We have mountaintop experiences. We walk in the valley sometimes. So, you know, God brought you here to Kentucky, and you met somebody special and decided maybe, hey, let's spend the rest of our life together. Talk a little bit about that part of your life.
Yeah. I mean, again, I came here as kind of a floating head and didn't really expect to go through some of the pain that I went through. And I think this is where we really resonated, was just on the topic of pain. I mean, I really appreciate what you do and the ministry that you hold, and I know that that goes out to so many people. For me, you know, I showed up here and started a journey in scholarship and met somebody who had a son, and I became a dad through really what was an unplanned pregnancy, and somebody that came back and said, you know, I was running away from God, and you know, I came back pregnant, and I chose life, and I chose the difficult path of being a single parent. And, you know, I remember always being somebody that was convinced and convicted by the pro-life movement in, like I said, a very heady kind of way. That's who I was, you know, intellectual, right? But I became a dad through that movement, and that experience of you know, becoming a dad through an unplanned pregnancy, through a crisis pregnancy, really kind of forced me to think, like, how much do I believe in this? You know, I would give lip service to the idea that, you know, the family is not strictly biological, right? That being a dad, being a mom is more relational than it is biological. And I think sometimes, you know, for those that get involved in adoption, or they get involved in foster parenting, or, you know, you find yourself as a step parent, you know, frequently you kind of got to ask that question, what role am I taking, right? And I remember coming and meeting my son the first time that he walked down the stairs and realizing, you know, my life was never going to be the same, right? The idea had moved into reality. A couple years later, I adopted him fully, and then about a year after that, and after some time of raising a daughter, we had a daughter, my wife passed away in a car accident. And she, who she had previously been working for Assurance, and then she had been working for Avenues for Women in the crisis pregnancy world. And I found myself really with some really deep questions about reality. And again, you know, oftentimes we can have a thought about the way something is, but once we're in the midst of it, it challenges us to really, you know, ask, how much do we believe this? You know, when it's a good thing to be pro-life until you're in the situation where you have to choose life, right? It's one thing to hold that God exists in the midst of pain until you're in the midst of that pain, right? And then you have to ask some questions. And there were many years where I walked away from God and, you know, ultimately said, God, like, you know, you, my whole world, this isn't what I projected for my world, right? And here I am wrestling through this and in the dark night of the soul. And I remember one distinct night, maybe about a few months after my wife had passed away, looking at my 6-month-old daughter and pointing my middle fingers up at God and saying, God, I don't believe you exist, and telling my daughter that. And, you know, I know a lot of people can probably resonate with that feeling in the dark night of their soul. I remember that same night also then looking at my daughter after that and then looking up at my ceiling and saying, but God, if you do exist, I need you to find me in a way that I can't chalk up to coincidence and I can't chalk up to good people. And he did that. He did that.
Well, share with us about that. How did he do that?
Yeah. So, you know, graduating from seminary, again, I had all this kind of head knowledge of who God was. In fact, I remember my last class in seminary writing a paper about theodicy, why do bad things happen to good people, and sitting there the whole time wondering why I was walking through loss and, you know, raising two kids that didn't have their biological mom. I've said since then, like, don't be afraid of asking God to meet you with where you need to be, right? Because often, like, God, you see this in Job, right? Job argues with God, right? It's the friends who get their all theology and all that kind of stuff proper and sorted out and stuff like that. And God says, ultimately, like, irrespective of whether you're right theologically, Job is the one who's in the midst of this. He's the one who's having this ongoing fight with me and this dialogue with me. And God ultimately vindicates Job and says, even if you're wrong, you're right. And looking at God and saying, God, you know who I am. You've made me a rational kind of person. You've also made me a bit of like a, you know, I would look at somebody dropping off a lasagna and I wouldn't see God in that. I would see a good person doing good things, right? So I said, God, you need to find some way of finding me in the ways that I can see you and find you. And, you know, as I was finishing up seminary, we realized like I needed support to raise these children on my own. I couldn't, you know, go anywhere else. We were transitioning from student housing. I was talking to a realtor about what it would look like to stay local. You know, we're going to be here for the long term. And I remember going and looking at every single house in the city that we lived in, and it was either too expensive or it was too small to raise two kids of two different genders and myself, right? And we're just a single income family, right? But we're looking to kind of be here for a while. Well, we looked at every single house, and they were all either too expensive or too small. And I remember our realtor saying, well, there's nothing else. I mean, you need to be looking elsewhere in Kentucky. And I said, I'm here for the long term. I want to look at the schools, you know, raise my kids in the environment that I think they need to be raised in. So I'm going to trust that something's going to open up. Well, a realtor calls me the next day and she says, there's a house that's going to go on the market tomorrow. I can get you in for an early showing if you'd like to see it. I went out and saw it. Great. Within our budget, within the size that we needed, I put down a bid. They accept the bid. And then I go back to a friend and I say, well, we're putting down a bid on this house. And he looks at me and he says, you've been to that house before. And I said, no, I've never been to that house before. He said, yeah, no, you've been to that house before because I remember that I met you at that house. And my mind goes all the way back to years or a couple years earlier when I had showed up in Wilmore. The second day that I was in Wilmore, I went to a little house party that was for back to school students. And the person that I remember sitting around a fire little bonfire that was going, and sitting there thinking, this is not a party for me. I'm in a strange environment. I'm a state school kid, you know, showing up at this Bible seminary party. That's not the kind of parties that I'm used to. And then this girl, she comes over and she sits down by me and she gives me her name. And then I spend the next 2 weeks looking for her. I found her 2 weeks later, met her son. And ultimately, the craziness of it all was that, like, God put me in the house that I met my first wife in. Despite the loss, despite the questions that were still there, ultimately, the need to wrestle with God and saying, God, you know, my world got turned upside down. I'm being honest with you that cognitively, theoretically or not, I don't believe in you. I don't trust in you right now. But if you want me to trust in you, I need you to move. And he moved in a way that, again, I don't know any other way to explain it. That's beyond good people doing good people. My realtor didn't care. And it's beyond coincidence because, you know, even though Wilmore is a small little town, the house that you met your late spouse in doesn't just pop up one day out of nowhere, right? Unless there's some design that's there. For me, you know, I tell people, you know, do not be afraid of giving God some conditions to work with. Because if you're honest with them, if you're honest with God and you're honest with yourself, God can take it and he can work with your conditions.
Well, your story is so powerful. And you shared that a couple months ago when we met in a group of guys. Just it just so resonated with me, and I knew with our listeners, because I heard one of my heroes of the faith, Wayne Smith, say one time, the founding pastor of Southland Christian Church, he said that, you know, God had one son without sin, no son without sorrow. And obviously, you know, you're going to Asbury Seminary, you're wanting to learn about God's word, teach all those things, and then, you know, we got a six-month-old and a son, and then boom, you know, your wife's gone. And on top of that, she's working for a, you know, pregnancy center trying to help save babies. So, yeah. You know, I mean, I love the honesty, how raw and real you were, and yet I think the thing I want our listeners say, and what I hear you saying is, you know, you can have an honest conversation with God. He wants you to keep it real. Is that right?
Yeah, ultimately, that's it. I mean, I think you go back to Job, and I think you even go to places like Ecclesiastes, or you even go to Jesus, who says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, those are not the kind of books, and those are not the kind of statements that Job's friends would have put in the mouth of Jesus, right? Or put in Scripture, because they weren't proper enough, right? They didn't fit into the box. But thankfully, as I said at the very beginning, God doesn't like stereotypes. God doesn't fit into stereotypes. He doesn't want us to fit into stereotypes. So wherever people are on the journey of pain or loss or hurt or big questions, you know, part of coming back to hope is knowing that ultimately you don't need to fit into a box, because God doesn't fit into a box. He doesn't want you in a box. Be honest with God, and he will come find you. He will meet you where you are.
And the best thing is, I mean, you know, lightning didn't strike you dead when you were honest, right?
Not at all.
And so that's why I'm hoping somebody maybe listening to you just need to have an honest conversation with God. Just tell him how you feel, where you're at, just like Randy did. And I love how honest he was, and God wants you to be honest. And, you know, I want to remind you, Christianity is, you know, yes, a religion, but it's so much more. It's a relationship, and any good relationship requires honesty. Well, unfortunately, we're about out of time here, but if you just tune in, we've been talking with Randy Hardman. He is the new executive director for Assurance for Life Ministries based here in Central Kentucky, and he joined that team back in October, and just exciting to see what God's been doing in this wonderful ministry that was founded back in 1984. So I hope you'll tune in tomorrow, because we're going to be sharing more about what Assurance for Life Ministry does, where they've been, where they are, and maybe where they're going in the future. So for Randy Hardman, I'm Greg Horn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow on Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Did you know that Hope Is Here is also available on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter? You can find all of these at Hope Is Here Lex. Also, check out the daily 1 minute Cup of Hope, available on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, that helps you Keep your cup hopeful. To find out more information, go to our website, www.hopeishere.org. That's www.hopeishere.org.